when man was lost in sin, no peace could be found. God proved his love to him when he sent his only son. Then he came to be that perfect living sacrifice. Jesus came through for all mankind on Calvary.
Greetings in the precious name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is Pastor N.R. Davis, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. We come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. Once again, my name is Pastor N.R. Davis. I am the pastor of the Abiding Light Church here in Manchester, New Hampshire. If you'd like to learn more about our ministry, you can go to our website at theabidinglightchurch.com. That is theabidinglightchurch.com. You can go and look us up also on the Facebook. We're over here on the west side of Manchester, preaching to you the Word of God. Tune in with us as we go into the sanctuary of the Abiding Light Church. And if we do not understand why God permits things to happen to us, not just physically, there's many different aspects, but we're going to deal mostly with the affliction of the bodies this morning. What does God try to do to teach us when he allows affliction to come into our life? Psalm 119, you just hold it. I'll give you verses here in just a moment. But I got to put this in your spirit and go slow here. One of the most important things I'm realizing as I go along in this walk with the Lord is that a lot of people come to a place of knowing about a lot of things. We call it experience. How many of us know there's nothing that can replace experience? Amen. And usually in life, age brings experience. You go through a lot. You talk to a 100-year-old compared to a 30-year-old, and there's going to be a big difference. But that experience, if it's not really rooted and grounded in truth, doesn't really help. There's a lot of wise men and women on this earth that have great educations, vast experiences. You can name them rocket scientists, archaeologists, people that have all this wealth of knowledge. And how many of us know that Solomon, the Bible considers him, as God gave him the gift of wisdom to lead the people of God, was his request. And it was a wonderful request, but do you know Solomon was considered one of the wisest men that ever was up on the earth besides Jesus Christ? And he, through the book of Proverbs, through Psalms, there's a lot of Solomon's writings throughout Ecclesiastes and all through the Bible. But there's a verse of Scripture where Proverbs says, he talks about, you got all this wisdom, but with all your wisdom, you need to get some understanding. And here is a very important thing in life. You can know a lot, but really don't understand what you know. I've oftentimes tried to put things together that I've bought from the store and never read the directions. Oh, I know how to put it together. I know how to do this. I know how to do that. And then get a little ways into it and you realize you don't know as much as you think you know. I don't need those instructions. I've done this before. I've been around a while. I'm old. I've been through some things. But one thing people don't realize, you can know a lot, but you don't have some understanding in certain areas. You better understand the knowledge that you have and how to apply it in the season that you're living. One of the most impossible things to do is to try to convince someone that is wrong, and you know they're wrong, try to convince them that they're wrong when they believe that they're right. I'm going to say it again and slow down. When you're dealing with someone that thinks they know it and they're right, and they're convinced they're right, knowledge puffs up. Don't tell me what you know. Show me what you know. This gospel's not just preached in word only, but in deeds. Show me you're dedicated. Show me you've got wisdom. Show me that you've got what you claim to have. You can take a certain situation and really people can know all about how to fix something, but don't understand really what is involved to fix a problem. How many of us know that they've taken their vehicle to the mechanic and realized he tells you what's wrong with it, but after he gives you the price of what it's going to cost to fix? How many has ever done any mechanical work here before? See, why is that going to cost so much? Well, you don't understand what's involved to fix that. You just know it as being this, but you got to take apart all this stuff. You got to take this off and unbolt this, and you can't get in there. And before you know it, you can know the problem, but you better have some understanding of how to fix that problem. Amen. And can I tell you, you're not too old to learn some things. We all need to learn some things. Amen. We've got a know-it-all generation. David, in his sin with Bathsheba, cried out to the Lord, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." Amen. How many of us know that there is a process through life in which God brings us through many trials, many tribulations, many situations, and they're all being used to teach us His ways? Can you say amen? His ways are not our ways. His thoughts are far above our thoughts. And can I tell you, one of the first things we all will do is ask, why do I got to go through this? Why do I got to deal with this? And can I tell you, brothers and sisters, God has a purpose for everything that the son and the women of God go through. Listen, if you're a child of God, He's got a reason why He allowed you to go through what you've gone through. It's to teach you something. It's to give you some lessons and some real life experiences that will be ingrained into your heart and in your spirit. How many of us know when you go through something and you know God has brought you through it? There's no one that's going to convince you otherwise. It's nobody that's going to try to tell you that God, listen, if it had not been for the Lord in some of our lives and some of our situations, some of us wouldn't be sitting in this church today. If it had not been for God, where would we be today? That's why I give glory to God for the hard times, through the struggle, through the affliction. We need to learn to give thanks to God in everything that we go through. We must understand and have a proper understanding and perspective as believers to know the ways of the Lord and how He teaches us to make us men and women of God. There is a process that we all must go through in life. And God uses good times. He uses bad times. He uses seasons of silence. He uses seasons of darkness where you feel the doom and the gloom. He will bring you to a season where you're just standing still and waiting on the Lord. He'll bring you through a season of trial and temptation. Name your season. We're all in a different time and season. Every one of us are going through different physical battles, mental battles, different temptations, different struggles. But if we don't have a proper perspective before we actually go into a trial and have a proper understanding in the maturity as a believer, we will get into a trial and begin to question God, amen, with a bad attitude, amen. Can I tell you, there's a lot of people that have wisdom, but they don't have good understanding. Oh, listen to me now. Let me help your bad understanding this morning. God doesn't make mistakes. Amen. God doesn't do anything that He is not sure of What I'm trying to tell you, when God does it, there's nothing wrong with it. It is all good. And if God has chosen you to suffer for a season, to go through something, it is all in the plan of God from the very beginning. How many of us believe He's Alpha? He's Omega. He's the first and the last. He is the all-knowing God, and there's nothing that happens that takes Him by surprise. Let's read in Psalm 119 and go down here to verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of Thy mercy. Teach me Thy statutes. Somebody say, teach me, O Lord. Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord. Notice the language now. Thou hast dealt well with Thy servant, O Lord, according unto Thy word. Teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I have believed Thy commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now have I kept Thy word. Thou art good and doest good. Teach me Thy statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep Thy precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as a fat as grease, but I delight in Thy law. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn Thy statutes. The law of Thy mouth is better unto me than thousands of gold and silver. Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding. Somebody say, give me understanding. And a good understanding. You know, you can have a bad understanding because of your experiences. And just because you had to go through something and you got treated wrong and you got lied to, you carry that all through your life, thinking that everybody's after you. Everybody's against you. You've got a bad understanding. You can have understanding, but you could have a bad understanding. Whether you hold a grudge against somebody, you can hold anger against somebody, you can hold something that happened 25, 30, 40 years ago and carry that through your life because it hurts you so bad. And you don't know what they said, and you don't know what they did to me, and you don't know what I went through. And listen to me, you carry that in everything that you look at now in life that pertains and reminds you of that certain trial, that certain valley, that certain place that you were. It's like this, many people that get rejected. Amen. Rejection is an awful thing to face. You study the life of David. He was the one that was rejected by Jesse. He was the one that was put on out in the sheepfold with the sheep. And he was the one that had to be called out off the field by the prophet and said, bring me that son. God has a king that He has chosen. And none of these ones of Jesse's sons are His. And I'm telling you, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost right here to help somebody to understand. It was David that could have been rejected, could have been despised. I read about Jesus who was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. This is the life of a man of God or a woman of God, that God must bring us through these circumstances that we may feel some of the realities of what it is to truly be afflicted and hurt and go through valleys of the shadows of death, that we can gain an experience through that trial that God was with me, that God will take you through, and God will be faithful to teach you some things that you didn't know when you first went in to this circumstance. But when you get on the other side of that valley, you can look back at what the Lord brought you through. Some of you are still in the valley. Some of you this morning are in a trial. You're going through some things. You're in the midst of a situation, and you cannot really understand why God's permitting this season in your life. Let me help your bad understanding this morning. If you've allowed that carnal mind to begin to lie to you, to think somehow that God's forsaken you or that God's forgotten about you with what you're going through, I want to remind you, this is all in the plan of God, because all things work together for the good for those that love God and those that are the called according to His purpose. Look at somebody next to you and say, God's got a purpose for what you're going through. God's got a purpose for what you're facing. We don't have to like it, but go ahead and buckle in and let God just bring you through. A lot of the older Christians would say, tie a knot if you're at the end of it and just hold on. He'll bring you through. Hallelujah. I want to let you know I'm going through. I'm going through, the old song said. I'm going through not by myself, but I've got one that said he'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me, but he's going to bring me through this. And if you'll get your eyes upon him, he'll bring you through this valley. Can you say amen? Trying to help somebody this morning to get a good understanding. Because I'm going to tell you something. Your mind is your worst enemy. You're going to think God's after you and God's looking to beat you over the head because of you, what you did. And listen, I believe in chastening, but I believe in the midst of God's judgment, there's a merciful hand that will come to us and he'll undergird us and you'll begin to get a good understanding. After you come through what you're going through, you'll look back and said, if it had not been for the Lord, the enemy would have took me out. This sickness would have took me out. Oh, but why did God permit me to go through it? Because there was something you had to learn in the midst of what you had to face. Can you say amen? How many of us know there's a time and a season for everything? We've got to get some understanding and discernment of understanding how to deal with things at its proper time. David went through much affliction and many trials. And God taught him through in this Psalm 119. He went astray for a season, but in God's loving kindness, he afflicted David on purpose. Through his enemies, I believe David probably went through physical affliction. I know he went through mental torment, fear, doubt. David was a man that went through it, but he brought a lot of it upon himself. How many of us know disobedience brings chastening? I said disobedience brings chastening. I know we don't want to hear about that we reap what we sow in a due season, but if we sow to the flesh, we reap corruption. Keep sowing to your flesh, brother. You've got a harvest coming. And that harvest is going to be used to teach you that, oh, it's better to obey than to sacrifice. It's better to obey what God told you to do. You get caught up in the flesh. You get caught up in going your own way. And a lot of it comes where people enter into something where they think it feels good and it looks good. And it, listen, if it feels good to the flesh, there's a good indication sometimes it's not of God. Because I'm going to tell you something. We live in a pleasurable generation, a feel-good generation. If it feels good, what do they tell you to do? Just do it. But I'm going to tell you something, brothers and sisters. Paul preached the gospel that we need to, amen, what? Crucify this flesh with its affections and its lust and its desires. Listen, that flesh will send us down a path of destruction. It will send us down a path of corruption, and it will destroy our relationship with God. And not only that, it will destroy our relationships with those that we love the most. Are you listening to me? I want to help somebody to get a better understanding, to understand that your decisions, they affect everybody that you are associated with. Your decision affects your children, affects your husband, your wife, your family, and your loved ones. Somebody say, I got to take this decision serious. I got to take this serious. I can't just hope that it works out. I've got to know the plan, the purpose, and the will of God. I've got to ask pastor to pray with me. I've got to seek counsel from the leaders and men of age, men that got wisdom and knowledge and can hear from God. Let me tell you something. Too many of us are getting counsel from people that don't even live the Word of God. They know the Word, but they're not living the Word. This is not a game. This is life or death. There's some serious things that they're going through. And if you make the wrong decision based on what you understand and how you feel, you're going to get yourself in a mess. Best thing to do is just, if you know you're going through a trial, don't try to get out of it. Listen, I've said it before and I'll use this illustration again. A lot of times The pilot of a plane will say, look, folks, buckle up. I put the seatbelt sign on. Why did he do it? He's warning you. We're getting ready to go through some turbulence, and it's going to get a little rough, and somebody can get hurt. How many of us know when you hit real bad turbulence in the air, and you're not seatbelted in, folks are getting thrown up onto the ceiling. Folks are breaking their head and their neck and their arms and getting beat up. I know a pastor that hurt his back real bad from just a moment of turbulence in the plane. Why, brothers and sisters? Amen. It's because we've got to be warned of some things ahead of time. You can be flying right in the peaceful sky. Sit back and enjoy your flight. And tell you, it can go from one moment to the next. You could be sitting there in ease and in comfort. And then in the next moment, boom, you're hitting turbulence and you're going through some rough times. Why? Because, brothers and sisters, there's a time and a season. And how many of us know seasons change? Seasons change. So David went astray from God. All of us have gone astray. We've drifted. We've gotten out of the will of God, the plan of God, the perfect will of God for our lives. And so what God's got to do to that one sheep, he leaves the 99 and goes after the what? David was a shepherd. He knew this well. And that stubborn sheep, that rebellious, I'm going to go and feed in whatever field I want. I'm going to go do what I want. That stubborn one that wouldn't listen to the shepherd's voice. Stay right here and eat right here. I mean, come on, my sheep, hear my what? Voice. But I'm going to tell you, sometimes another voice will lead you in another direction. We got folks that are going in places and going and doing things in the body of Christ. Amen. Don't get mad at me now, but I'm going to tell you something. If we're going to be preachers of the gospel, there's some places we can't go. I don't care if you don't say amen this morning. There is a way that seemeth right, but I'm going to tell you, you start flirting around with the entertainment and the things of the world, and you will lose your anointing with God. You will lose your effectiveness with people. There are some things that the sheep of God cannot go and cannot do. There are some places we cannot feed that everybody else is doing it. That's when we not be doing it. Come on now. And I'm here to tell you right now, brothers and sisters, when he goes after that one, and it will not come back willfully, submissively. But sometimes it just wants to go its own way. I'm going to do what I want to do. Self-will, pride. We can deal with that in another time. Amen. Pride cometh before a fall. Can I tell you, you go ahead and get stubborn with God. Go your own way, brother. Go your own way, sister. And I'm going to tell you something. You'll get a clear understanding real quick that the Lord chasteneth those that he loves. He'll let you go your own way, but there's a matter of time before he's going to come. And that stubborn spirit, that prideful spirit, he says, I'm only going to let it go so far. Now I've got to break you. Now I've got to chasten you. And now I've got to teach you some lessons that you can't do what you want to do. Your life is not your own. You've been bought with a price, and that is the precious blood of Jesus. And I'm here to tell you, brothers and sisters, there's a lesson that we must learn. And David said, before I was afflicted, I went astray. But in God's mercy, he went after David. He chastened him. He suffered affliction. He suffered heartache. He suffered pain. He suffered betrayal by his son. And it all came down to David knew is because of his disobedience to God. Affliction and hardship and trials and life's experience, none of us pray for these things. Affliction causes pain. It causes discomfort, distress, discouragement. Frustration associates with this hardship of affliction. This is not something that you're going to pray for. You're not going to say, God, afflict me. God, chasten me. God, teach me. But see, he knows what each of us need. And he knows where to hit us and when to hit us. How to get our attention. We don't pray for this. You better not be praying for this. It will come naturally in the process of God in your life. Affliction is uncomfortable, but it's meant to be uncomfortable. Can I tell you, God doesn't just give you a bed of roses to walk on all the time. It will weary you. It will burden you. So David, in his affliction, he was able to see the good in his pain. See the good, the goodness of God through all that he suffered. David said, "It was good that I have been afflicted." Does anybody ever get on the other side of a trial and you can truly look back at the valley he brought you through and say, "That was actually good for me"? And in the natural mind, you'll say, "Man, why did I have to go through that?" Because you haven't learned the lesson. It's not about you. It's about him. As we begin to close this radio broadcast, I want to remind you, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30, bringing to you the Walking in the Light radio broadcast. This is Pastor N.R. Davis. I'm the pastor of the Abiding Light Church on the west side of Manchester. If you'd like to go to our website, you can go to it at theabidinglightchurch.com. We would be so delighted to hear from you. We would be so encouraged to know that those of you that have listened today have been encouraged by the Word of God. Once again, we come to you every Saturday at 3 o'clock to 3:30 here on WDER Radio. I want to just let you know that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He changes not. Until next Saturday, may the Lord Jesus Christ bless you.